What's up, everybody? Tyler James here with Social Citizen Hairdressing Academy. And today, we're very excited for our very first podcast, The Beauty School Breakdown. I also have somebody I spend a lot of time with, very special guest, and we're going to get to know Mr. Power through this podcast. So really excited. Let's go. I really want everybody to understand that this podcast is all about bridging the gap between beauty school and salon reality. And so we want to get every stylist and salon owner that we can that is successful, that is motivating and encouraging people to be able to give us information, help our students, but also help them with being able to get the next generation hairstylists to be able to work inside their salons to work with precision and purpose. That's one of our biggest deals. So we have Mr. Power. Ah. We spent tons of time together.
We're like married practically.
Yes. This journey over the past year has been spectacular. We've grown a ton. The crazy thing is when we first started communicating, we realized that we had something already in common outside of being hairdressers. The fact that we went to school together.
We went to the same cosmetology school together. He doesn't remember me, but I remember
him. Well, I think it was like my last day. And I don't know, speaking about beauty school breakdowns, when you go through beauty school, it's amazing. The first quarter is great. You're all energized and excited. Then you get this like halftime experience where you're like, you're not quite at senioritis, but you're ready to like move on.
You're feeling it.
And then by the time you're like, the last 3 days of school, you're like, you're done. And so,
you're a rock star. You know everything. You're ready to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I was a pro, old pro at that time in hair school, 1,600 hours. And Jeremiah comes in and he was assisting me for one day, and then I graduated, and then you were there.
And I pretty much took over his clients that stayed, and yeah, it was one day. So I'll give you that.
So it was one day. Yeah. So how could I possibly remember? Anyway, so moving on. How did you, have the idea to go into hair school?
Hair school is always something that was on the back of my brain. I actually went to Bowtech, which is kind of like, what do you guys call it out here?
I don't know.
What are those high school, what do they call it out here? I can't remember. If you know, comment.
Please. Comment, yeah, please.
I went to Bowtech because I really wanted to do the cosmetology program, and there was one boy that was in the program, and he was annihilated by like all the other boys in the school around him. So I was like, nope, there's no way I'm doing that. So I wussed out, I did computer science, and I hated it, and I dropped out of that and just went really back to regular high school. So it was always in the back of my brain that cosmetology or doing hair was something that I wanted to do. And then, you know, I took the easy, not so easy route and went to college for theater. Go figure.
One thing about Mr. Power that you might not know is that he is a performing arts star, I would say. He has not left the stage just because he's at work behind a desk, maybe communicating a message on a whiteboard of a haircut or whatever. He is still performing, and that's one thing I love about you. Not only are you a hairdresser, but you're an artist, you're a performing artist. You've done platform work. You have gotten to become a great educator. My next question for you is, how did you go from stylist out of beauty school, you became a stylist, and then this business ownership came in? Like, what was the transition from stylist to business owner?
I think this is going to be a common trend that you find out when you ask other stylists this question. Is I was simply just done and fed up with corporate, having a boss, really. We're artists, so we like to do our own thing, we like to be individualistic, but also, share our art with the community and love our clients. So I worked for a corporate company for so long. I was also teaching at the time, and that was being taken over by a different corporation. And I just said, I can do this on my own, and I really, really want to do it on my own. And I want to provide a space for people to come and go as they please and not have to put in a request for time off or, get in trouble if they're, late or whatever. It was more of a safe space for all my other stylist friends that had kids that couldn't go to a baseball game or whatever. So I just wanted to create a really artsy space for people to be able to rent. They pay their rent, they come and go, they do the hair, they do whatever they need to do, and then they can live a life. Because we have lives as hairdressers. Imagine that.
I have had several salons, and I always found that it was extremely difficult to have to be able to run the business, to have the clientele, but then also to be the educator, to be the motivator, teaching them how to do a one-length haircut, teaching them the difference between the lifting system in color versus lightener, which seems crazy. How do you think cosmetology schools today, and what do you think they should be doing to help salon owners?
Honestly, bridging the gap like we're doing now, I mean, I really think that communication between the schools and salons would be helpful. Just getting them in here and talking to them, because who knows what they're looking for. Right now, with all the different licensing you can get, I mean, people can go into salon earlier being a shampoo assistant or whatever it may be. So I really think just bridging the gap, what we're doing right now is talking to salon owners, having them come in here and tell us exactly what they need. I know as a salon owner, I was doing way too much educating for people that just came out of school.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, I understand that. I'm sure you learned something, but why do I feel like you didn't learn anything?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, for me as a salon owner, I mean, I would, every Tuesday, we would be doing education. And I would go get them from the school and teach them. Like in 2 months, while they were waiting for their license, it was like massive amounts of education happening. One cut, one color. And it was just so exhausting for me. Then I also realized that that's part of the problem, because of the salon owner has to teach so much of the education part. What that means is the salon owner wants to recoup their investment, and that investment wears on the stylist, because they now want to be free and be their own boss. And so we want to, as a salon owner, we want to squeeze all the juice that's left. But yet we have to leave some juice for the stylist to be able to go out and have a successful career of their own.
Yeah.
So I really believe that, like, if there could be some balance, and when Jeremiah and I first got together and we were sitting around my round table at my house, we were talking about changing the mentality of hairdressing, which we are. But if you know me, I really want to go, like, I peg the needle, like, all the way to full throttle. And what we've identified is that, like, it doesn't need to be full throttle. It really just needs to be feathered in. We just need to go back to, like, to the fundamentals and the foundation, and that would be just fine.
Yeah.
So if they leave our school understanding just the fundamentals and the foundation of the cut, color, and style extensions, and then build from there, and always having a place to come to call home for their education, that's what Social Citizen's all about. I recognize that I would have loved, I would have really loved to know that my employees would have been able to go back to their school to get a little bit more education. And especially if I could have been like, hey, can they come in on your one length class? Because they just really need help. Instead of like the business owner needing to do that, it would be cool for salon and school to have a little bit more integration.
Yeah.
Here's my next question for you. How in the heck did you get on the stage platforming for in cutting hair? Or was it backstage? Was it on stage? Was it runway? Was it photos? What was it?
You know, okay, so it started out just almost forcing myself into it. When the education department or the education team was doing photo shoots, I was there. Whether it be just a fly on the wall or sweeping hair or handing a comb or a brush. I also did makeup, so I was always had my makeup kit just in case. And one photo shoot, someone was like, oh, I need makeup on my model. And I did it, you know, no questions asked, no whatever.
If I did makeup and they look a little crazy, I tell you that right now.
Well, all my models kind of look like drag queens. So I don't
know. Hey. Mine did too, actually. All of mine did too, they really did.
So I think really honestly, just immersing yourself, diving in and forcing your way in the door is usually, I mean, honestly, if I had students just pushing their way in and saying, I'm here to do what you're doing and I'm not gonna stop, I would give them a lot of credit for that and respect them, because that's how I did it. And I literally just, it was actually by accident. Somebody didn't show up for a demonstration one day and they were like, do you know this cut? Absolutely, let's go. Mic up,
right.
Jump in.
Right place, so, right time.
Right place, right time, because I was there.
Having
an
education. That's great. So, man, I mean, basically what I picked up out of that is being available, being prepared, and maybe even well prepared. I think there's a difference between bare minimum and being well prepared. And so for me, like even like with the school and with the salons and the clients and even this podcast, like what I find is like even like as we're doing this, my computer is dinging and I'm going, well, okay, I thought I thought about everything, you know? But like there's little things that you have to be prepared for. And you need to be able to roll with it too. Was there ever a time where you felt like you were prepared, you're on stage, and these are the breakdowns, the beauty school breakdowns. I forgot to ask you if there was a beauty school breakdown that you had in beauty school, but we'll go back to that. Like, all right, so you're on stage, you think you're well prepared, or a photo shoot or something like that. Anything that ever happened where you had to like just make something happen when, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I have to backtrack for a minute there because you're talking about your computer dinging. It just reminds me of the first time we were shooting a promo for the school. We were in this building, very nice building, downtown Phoenix. And every time he would go to say a line, a backo in the lot next to him was bulldozing.
I couldn't get it out of my mind for a week. It totally disrupted everything. But
so,
I learned a lot.
To move on to your question about, you know, what do you do in moments like that? I mean, we handled it well. We taped every 2 seconds in between the backo going forward and backing up. But has there ever been a moment on stage? You know, I always tell my students, if you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. So you just have to be prepared. I think I'm gifted with the improv, you know. So if anything, it was always a cue was too late or, you know, a model sneezed or something in the middle of a haircut and you're like, oh, I just almost cut her ear off. But no, I can honestly say I've never had anything major happen. And if it did, I wouldn't have noticed because I was so locked in.
Yeah. I find like those moments. Well, first of all, a lot of my moments that were cool in getting to the platform have always been having a great support system, like my beautiful wife and my teammates around me, believing in me, telling me that I can do it. So that's always been the biggest thing. But when I was on stage, they were telling me one time, they were telling me to apply the purple or pink to this dry piece of hair and then take a flat iron while we're on stage and flat iron over it. And I, as a color educator at the time, I was like, that is not like
cool.
That's not cool. This is gonna be like snap, crackle, this is pop. Gonna be bad for the hair. And this is like the biggest name, like in hairdressing, telling me to do this. And I'm like, all right. And so I go to do it, and the plume of smoke that hit was just like, I mean, it's like one of those vapes that you see, those it just hits like that. It's like it was insane. And I'm on a stage and I'm like tripping out. And I thought I messed up. I thought I messed something up. And so I just kind of held my breath and the show went on and it was over. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the hair caught on fire basically. And they're like, it was awesome. The effect was great. And they were, so something that I thought was a huge mistake ended up being like a huge visual moment. And so really I learned this in beauty school, like, you know, they're never mistakes. They're always like discoveries. Right on. So, you know, this is an intro to our podcast. I think we're going to be a well-oiled machine by the time we get to podcast 5.
Yes.
But like, you know, really, I think that we're bridging the gap here. Social Citizen Hairdressing Academy is really all about bridging the gap from beauty school to salon reality. And that's what beauty school breakdown is all about. We're going to talk to all kinds of salon owners and the best stylists in town. We're going to hear their beauty school stories. We're going to hear what they need, what they want, how to help you guys be successful and choose the right beauty school. And we believe that Social Citizen Hairdressing Academy, but you know what? It might not be for you. But at the end of the day, we're just here to change the mentality of hairdressing with precision and purpose, one step at a time. We realize we don't need to be full throttle, but we're just gonna feather in the throttle. And so, you know what? We have a huge announcement that we're gonna make, but I don't think that we're really prepared. So like, follow, subscribe to our YouTube channel, all the social platforms, and you are going to see somebody win a raffle of $250 because they were amazing. We finally got into one of these hair school, or not a hair school, high school. A hair school, got to go to a high school. It was really amazing. But like, follow, subscribe so you can see who the winner is. It's really amazing. Thank you for watching our very first podcast, Beauty School Breakdown. Super pumped. Thank you for being my first guest. We learned a lot. We'll see you next time.